Hey everyone, what's going on? Welcome back to Babble on Talmud. Today we're studying Daf Tes, Daf 9 of Masechta Pesachim. Another great Daf here in Masechta Pesachim. They really know how to keep the best Dafs, how to reserve the best Dafs for us over here at Babble on Talmud. So some of the sugyas we're going to learn about today, counting on weasels to eat things. Can you count on a weasel to eat something? What do you guys think? I don't know, where would I even, I don't even want to go there. Yeah, I'm happy I don't know where to find the weasel. Ein safek motzei midei vadai. Interesting sugya. Being concerned that a weasel will schlep bread. Okay, it's interesting. You know, that really comes up at the very beginning of the daf today in the Mishnah, but we really get to the nitty gritty later on in the daf. And then the famous sugya of Teisha Chanuyos. You guys know, does that ring any bells? Teisha Chanuyos? I don't think that we've ever learned about it together, but I'm sure some of the chevra over here have heard of it. It's talking about when you have 9 stores that sell kosher meat, one of them sells non-kosher meat, and you find a random piece of meat. Can you assume that it's kosher or not? So how does that tie into chametz and matzah? So we got some good juicy stuff today. Let's get started. Daf Tes Amud Aleph of Masechta Pesachim, all the way at the top, at the Mishnah, in Choshishin Shema Geru Rechuda Mibayis Levayis V'Makum V'Makum, De'im Kein Mechatzu L'Chatzu M'Hir L'Ir, Ein L'Davar Sof. You got that? Good, let's go weiter. Just kidding. Okay, says the Mishnah, in Choshishin Shema Geru Rechuda Mibayis Levayis V'Makum V'Makum. We are not concerned that, you know, imagine you live in a one-room home, and you got 4 corners in the room, and you're starting to do your Pesach preparations, and you clean one corner, and you get rid of any chametz over there, you move on to the next corner. You have to be concerned that the second you turned away from the corner that you just cleaned, that a weasel came and schlepped some chametz over there and created a whole mess, okay? So that's the question. So we say, no, you don't. We are not concerned that after you clean one space, that maybe a weasel came and schlepped some chametz from either one house to the next or from one place to another place. Imkein mechatzu lechatzur, meir leir, ein hadavar sof. In which case, then you'll have to be concerned. Well, maybe did they bring from one chatzur to another? Maybe from one city to another, right? Who knows how far these weasels can travel? They're weasels. They have their reputation. So what the Mishnah is saying is you don't have to be concerned about that. Once you have cleaned a space and you have can ascertain there's no chametz, that's it. You don't have to be concerned that weasels will schlep over some chametz and then leave crumbs, or crumbs aren't really an issue, right? We said the other day that they're not chashuv, but maybe leave bigger than crumbs. That's not a concern. Says the Gemara, time to lochazino deshaka. So says the Gemara that the reason why this is okay, right, that after I clean one corner, I don't have to be concerned that a weasel is going to come and schlep some chametz over there, it's because as long as I didn't see a weasel come and schlep chametz there, I can assume that, I'm just going to assume that no weasel came and brought chametz, right? But, ha'chazina d'shakal chayshinan. But if we mamish saw that when we moved on to the next corner, a weasel came with a big piece of bread and brought it into the corner that we just cleaned, well, then we have to be concerned that maybe the weasel is not going to eat all of the bread and leave some of it over, and therefore you have to check out that corner again that you just cleaned to make sure that there is no chametz over there. Uvai bedika, you have to check it again. Okay, so we say that if you didn't see any weasel schlep bread into the place that you just cleaned, so you can assume that it remains clean and chametz free. But if you see a weasel schlep bread to the place that you just cleaned, so then you have to go back and make sure that it didn't leave any chametz over there. Ve'amai, the Gemara wants to know how come. But shouldn't we say that the weasel ate the bread? Meaning, he schlepped over the bread, but he ate it. So there's no more chametz left. Because after all, milo tanan, don't we learn in a Mishnah? In Oelos. Okay, don't worry. This Mishnah is under control. Meduros ha'akum tmei. That the places where Ovdei Kochavim lived have a status of being tamei, of tumas hameis. Because the concern was that the wives of the Ovdei Kochavim, if they gave birth to a stillborn, they would bury the stillborn in the house itself. So therefore, out of concern that maybe this Akum who was living in the house actually buried a stillborn in the house. So therefore, you have to be concerned that the house is tummy. And how long does an Oved Kochavim have to live in a house in order for it to have a status of requiring bedika? What if he sleeps over one night? Do you have to assume that the house is tame? So we say, Arbaim Yom, that if the Oved Kochavim lives in the house for 40 days, then at that point, if you want to move into that house, you have to, I don't know, you definitely have to be concerned about Tumah. I don't know what you would do to remedy it, but you'd have to be concerned about it. And this is even if he doesn't have a wife, because we're concerned that maybe somebody who wasn't his wife gave birth to a stillborn and the stillborn was buried in the house. Now here's the important part for us. That however, if weasels and pigs are able, you know, so any place where weasels and pigs would be able to access, and if there were to be a stillborn buried there, we can assume that the pig or the weasel would have eaten it. Well, then you don't have to check those places. Oh, I guess that's the remedy, right? The remedy is that it's tummy until you check the whole place and ascertain that there's no stillborn buried there. But we're saying that if a weasel or a pig would be, so any place in the house that a weasel or a pig would be able to access, you don't need to check those places, because the assumption is that if there was a stillborn buried there, then the weasel or the pig would have found it and eaten it. So what do we see? We see that we can rely upon a weasel halachically to have a very sufficient appetite. And just like we say that you don't have to be concerned about a stillborn in terms of tumah if there's a weasel, because a weasel will eat it, so we should say the same thing about our chametz, that if a weasel, you know, even if we saw a weasel schlep a piece of chametz into the corner, that shouldn't really matter, because we can assume that the weasel ate it. So Amar Abzera, lo kasha abibasar v'habilechem. Abzera says there's a difference between a stillborn and a piece of bread, right? It didn't say meat and bread. I don't need so much meat, lemaisa, but I have eaten meat, and let's be honest, for most of my life I eat meat. Kind of like an on and off kind of vegetarian guy. So right now I'm on. And it works out okay. But I understand what it means, the difference between meat and bread. So we're saying that weasels agree. And therefore, when it comes to meat, they will eat it all up. But when it comes to bread, they might leave leftovers. When it comes to meat, they don't leave anything over. When it comes to bread, they may leave things over. And that is why if you saw a weasel schlep something, schlep some chametz into the corner, you have to check it. Amar Rava. Hi, Mai. Rava says, wait, what's going on over here? Bishlama hasam. Amor hava, amor lo hava. I understand why, in the case of the stillborn, why we can rely upon the weasel or the pigs to eat the stillborn, if there was, in fact, a stillborn buried there. Because over there, it's completely a suffix, right? Amor hava. I'll say, maybe there was a stillborn buried in the house, but at the same time, amor lo hava. I can just as easily say that maybe there was no stillborn buried in the house. Vim tim tzolomer hava, and even if you're going to say that there was a stillborn buried in the house, emor achalte. At that point, I'll say, well, maybe the weasel ate it. There's like two layers of suffix. Aval hocha, but over here, divadai dechazina deshakal, where we 100% saw that a weasel took a piece of bread and brought it over to the corner, so we know with certainty that there was bread in the corner at some point. Well, miyemer da achalte. Can we say with complete certainty that the weasel ate the bread? Havi sofik uvadai ben sofik motzi mide vadai. This would be a situation of sofik and vadai, right? I.e., the baseline situation is that we know with certainty that the weasel schlepped a piece of bread into the corner. And maybe he ate the entire thing. Maybe he didn't. And the Ein Safek Motzi Midevadai, perhaps is not able to override a definite. A possibility is not able to override a definite. And therefore, since we definitely know that there was bread in the corner and possibly the weasel ate all of it, therefore we cannot rely upon our weasel friend and you have to check the corner. Okay, very good. So that was machlokes between Reb Zeira and Rava about why you would need to recheck a corner if you saw a weasel schlep bread over there. Vein Safik Motzi Midei Vadai? One second. Rava, is that really true? That a Safik cannot override a Vadai? Viha Tanya. But we learned in a Braisa. Chever, we saw this Braisa. Oh. Maybe not. Wait, I thought we saw this Braisa in Erevin. Oh, the next part we saw in Erevin? Ah, the next part we saw in Erevin. Alright, what can I tell you? Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Chever Shemez Veniach Megorim Le'Peris. If you have a chaver, right, we learned about chavers and Am Aretz's the other day, right, we said that everybody is a chaver in the context of Bedikas Chametz. So chaver shemes, if you have a chaver who died, v'niach megorim le'peros, and he left over a container filled with fruits, v'afilu ein bnei yoman, even if those fruits were picked that day, harein b'chezkas mesukanin, we can assume that they were already tithed. V'ahacha devadai tvilei hanepere. Now, in this case, these fruits were certainly tevel. They were certainly untithed at one point. V'safek me'usarin, v'safek lo me'usarin. And maybe the chaver separated trumas and ma'isris. Maybe, well, I guess ma'isris. Maybe the chaver separated ma'isris. Maybe he did not. V'kasi safek u'motzi midei vada. And yet, the safek of maybe he separated ma'isr, maybe he didn't, is overriding the default certain state, which is that they were definitely untied at some point. So we see that actually a suffix is being motzi midei vadai. A suffix is overriding a vadai. Hasam vadai uvadaihu. Divadai ma'asre. So the Gemara answers no. Actually, this case by the chaver is two vadais. It's two certainties, right? Yes, certainly. At some point, these fruits were untithed, but we can also say that certainly this chaver, before he died, he removed ma'aser. K'drab chanina choza, damrab chanina choza, chazaka al chaver shein motzi mitachas yado davar sheinu misukan. That we have a chazaka. We can assume that a chaver will never, right, somebody who's trusted in terms of ma'aser will never release anything from his hands that is not, tithed, that is not fixed, that the ma'aser has not been separated from. And therefore, we can assume that certainly these fruits have been tithed already. And just like we know with certainty that at some point they were untithed, we also know with certainty that this chaver, before he died, removed the ma'aser. V'ibay seima, or if you want, I'll say safek v'safeku. Or even if you want to say, look, at the end of the day, if we didn't see the chaver separate the ma'aser, then it is ultimately just a guess. Who knows? Maybe he dropped dead before he had a chance to separate the ma'aser. But still, at the end of the day, it's actually not so straightforward that at some point it was tevel. Because in order for something to be considered tevel, in order for something to be considered like, you know, the point where, you know, to get to the point where you mamish have to separate trumas and ma'aser, and if you don't, like, you chayv misa b'dei shamayim, because so there's actually a few steps, right? You have to before something is mamish chayev in trumas and ma'isris, so and would be tevel and you'd be chayev misa b'dei shemayim if you don't separate it. You have to do something called meruach, right? You have to what's it called? Gmar melachto, I think, something like that. That basically there are certain things that you have to do in order to make this grain chayev in ma'isr, and that is that you have to, like, do all the steps of processing it, and then the last step is putting it in a pile and, like, flattening off the top of it, and that's what's called meruach. Now, therefore, it is, after all, possible. Now, if you take the grain into your house before you go through all of the required steps of processing grain, well, then it's actually not going to be chayav mida oraisa in trumas and maisers. It's like a loophole. right? If you just bring it in to your house before, doing all the steps of processing, so then you actually don't necessarily have to separate trumas and maisers, and it won't be considered tevel. And therefore, you can argue that this produce was actually not a vadai tevel, it's actually a suffek tevel, because there is the possibility that he could have brought this grain into his house before it finished all of its levels of processing, in which case it actually wouldn't be tevel, right? Dilma meikara emor delo tevile. Maybe I'll say that they actually never were tevel. A person can be tricky when it comes to his grain, and he can bring it into his house with its like chaff, meaning when it's still not yet completely processed, so that his animal can eat from it in a kavua way, and that it will be putter from meiser. You won't have to separate meiser. And therefore, we can't say, just like we can't say with 100% certainty that this chaver separated meiser, we also are unable to say with 100% certainty that he brought it into his house after all the processing was done. And therefore, it's possible that this was not actually ever tevel. And it's also possible that this chaver didn't separate meiser. But it's two suffix, and that is why we can assume that this stuff, that this produce is okay, that these fruits are okay, because you have two suffix. But if you would have a vadai and a suffix, we would still maintain that ein suffix mutzi midei vadai, that an uncertain situation cannot override a certainty that we know. But the Gemara is not done. Ein suffix mutzi midei vadai. Is it really true that a suffix is not able to be motzi from a vadai? Ve'atanya, we learn in a braisa from Rabbi Yehuda, ma'ase b'shifchasol shometzik echod b'rimon, that there was a story with a certain nudnik, with the maidservant of a certain nudnik in Rimon. I'm getting the feeling that Rabbi Yehuda often brings up questions in these Mishnayos. I feel like we've seen a number of times where Rabbi Yehuda has said, Maisebe so and so. I feel like we've seen it a few times. Maisebe Shifchaso Shemetzik Echad Berimon, that there's a story with a certain maidservant of a nudnik in Rimon, Shetila Nefel Abor, that she gave birth to a stillborn, and she threw it into a pit. Uva koin, and a koin came. Now, the koin was not supposed to come. A koin is not allowed to become tame, and he really should not have come to do what he was about to do, but he did. Okay? The hated bow, and what did he do? He peeked his head over the pit to see if the leidaim zacharim nekevahi, to see if this stillborn was a male or a female. Now, he shouldn't be sticking his head over a pit because he might make an ohel over a mace, in which he has still become tame, and he's not allowed to become tame. But he did do it, okay? Why did he do it? The Gemara says because, or the Mishnah says, or the Braisa says, that because he wanted to ascertain if this stillborn was a boy or a girl. And the nafkamina is, like we learned on Daf Gimel of Masecht HaPsachim, that if it was a boy, so then there would be 7 days of Tumah and 33 days of Tara. And if it was a girl, so then there would be 14 days of Tumah and 66 days of Tara. So this Kohen poked his head over the pit to see if the stillborn was a boy or a girl. Uva ma'isel lefnei chachamim v'tiaru. And the story came before the chachamim, and they said it's okay. This Kohen is tahor, he's not tamei. V'pnei shechulda uvardalis mitzuyin sham. How come? Because there are weasels and bardalises. A bardalis is a polecat. Dennis, what is a polecat? Thanks in advance. Mitsuyan Cham. They are found there. V'ahacha devadai itila v'safek geru, safek lo geru, ha'ishaita. Now, in this case, certainly we know that she threw a stillborn into the pit, and therefore that would be a source of tuma. And on that, based on that, if the Kohen would stick his head over the pit, he should become Tameh. Yet, v'safek geru, v'safek lo geru, aishaita, and maybe a weasel or a polecat schlepped aside the, like came out of its little hole and schlepped the stillborn into its hole at that point, which means that, therefore, the baby was gone, right? Because that's the whole question, meaning, if the baby was in the pit and the Kohen stuck his head over the pit, well, then certainly he's making an ohel over the stillborn, and then he's going to be tame. Now, however, if a weasel or a polecat came out of its hole and schlepped the baby in the stillborn into its hole, well, then there's no longer a stillborn in the pit, in which case the Kohen would not become Tame because he's not making an oil over anything. The stillborn has been schlepped into a hole. So here we have a Suffolk and a Vaday, right? Certainly there was a stillborn in the pit. Maybe it was schlepped into a hole. Because he Suffolk and Motsumi de Vaday, and we're saying that this Suffolk is able to override the Vaday. Lo teme she tila nefelabor, ela ema she pila kimin nefelabor. So the Gemara wants to say, okay, so read the Braisa differently. Don't say that she mamish threw a stillborn in the pit. Rather, say that she threw something like a stillborn in the pit. It was like a cloud of congealed blood or something, but it wasn't actually a stillborn, so it wasn't actually tame. Vehave safek v'safek. And therefore, it would be a safek whether it was a stillborn or if it was just like some congealed blood or something. And it's also a suffix if the weasel or polecat schlepped that suffix item into his lair, and therefore it's two suffixes, and that's why this Kohen, it was Tahor. V'aleda im zachar umnekevahi katane. But one second, it says to know if this was a boy or a girl, which makes it seem like it was a stillborn, not just some blood. V'achi kam, this is what it means. Leda im ruachi pila im nefeli pia. Hipila. No, the job of the Kohen over here was to tell if it was a stillborn or if maybe it was just like an empty like placenta, I think, or something. So meaning if there was actually a baby there or not. V'im timtzalomar nefel hipila, and even if it was a baby, leida im zachu v'im nekevahi, well then he wanted to know if it was a zachar or a nekeva. So therefore, it was a suffix whether it was actually a stillborn or not, and it was a suffix if the weasel or polecat schlepped the thing into its lair, so that is why it's a double suffix, that's why it's acceptable. V'bai seimo, or if you want, I'll say, hasam vaday uvadayhu. Or there you can also say it's two vadays, meaning even if you want to say that yes, it was certainly a stillborn, you can also say the following, that what? That kevin dechulda uvardelas mitzuyin cham, that since there are weasels and polecats there in vaday geruhu ba'yishaita, then certainly they had schlepped it away at that time, because nehidish yure mishaira migaira mias vadegerum b'hayishaita. That even though we had a question before about maybe they might leave over some of the meat, but they definitely are going to schlep it into their lair, that's for sure. Whether or not they have as big of an appetite as we think they do, as we're crediting them for, maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe they ate all the meat, maybe they didn't. However, they definitely schlepped it into their lair. So therefore, it's two vadas. Yes, certainly there was a nafel in the pit, but certainly there was like a stillborn in the pit, but certainly also these little rodents schlepped the stillborn into their lair, and therefore what? Ah, therefore certainly when the Kohen poked his head over the pit, there was no tumah there at the time. Now the Gemara asks, Umi amrinan ein choshishin shema gerura chuda? Going back to our Mishnah. Okay, we're going back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah had said that if you clean one corner of your house and move on to the next corner of the house, you do not have to be concerned that a weasel came and schlepped some chametz from some other, from the third corner of the house into the first one that you already cleaned. So now, is that really true? Umi amrinon ein choshishin shemageru achuda? Do we really say that we're not concerned that a weasel may schlep some chametz into the place that you already searched? V'akatani seifa, but it says at the end, at the end of what? In the Mishnah that we're going to learn tomorrow, on the Fiyur Amud Beis, right? It says, in the continuation of our Mishnah, you could say, Mashe Mishayer Yanichenu B'tzinesh Lo Yeitzarech B'dika Acharav. You hear that? The Mishnah on tomorrow's daf, on Yud Amud Beis, says that you're allowed to leave over some chametz after the bedika for consumption if you want. You know, if, right, it was to say, Mashe Mishayer Yanichenu B'tzina, that whatever chametz you leave over for yourself after the bedika so you have something to eat, that's fine, but just make sure to put it away. Shelo Yeitzarech Bedika Acharav, so you don't have to do another bedika afterwards. Meaning, if you leave out this chametz, then you're going to have to do another bedika. So what do we see? So we're clearly concerned that if you leave out this chametz, then a weasel is going to come and mess up the search that you already did. right? We're saying that you do your search your house for chametz. Sure, if you want to leave over some chametz to eat afterwards, that's totally fine, but make sure you put it away. And if you don't put it away, you're going to have to do another bedika. What's the concern? Some of the concern is that a weasel is going to come and, you know, get into it and take some of it and leave some of it somewhere, and it's going to create a mess. Abai says it depends when you do the bedika. If you do the bedika on the 13th day of Nisan, so then you don't have to be concerned about a weasel breaking into your chametz and schlepping it somewhere and leaving it over. But on the 14th day of Nisan, you do have to be concerned about that. B'shlosha also the shchiach rifta b'chulubate lo mitzana. That on the 13th day of Nisan, where there's still plenty of chametz around because people haven't gotten rid of it yet, so the weasels haven't yet noticed that there's been a difference in the trend of chametz consumption in the Jewish houses. And since he hasn't noticed yet this change, so therefore he will continue business as usual and he'll keep on eating as if there's no tomorrow. So therefore, on the 13th, after you've done bedika, you wouldn't have to be concerned that a weasel is going to come, because even if a weasel comes and chops some of your chametz, it's also going to eat all of it, because it won't be thinking like, wait, I don't know when my next meal is coming, because as far as he can tell, there's been nothing different from the day before and the day before that, and there's just always enough food to go and steal and eat. So therefore, he's going to eat it all up, and therefore you don't have to do another bedika. But barba also delo shchicha rifta b'chulubate mitzana. But on the 14th day of Nisan, this weasel is going to notice that for some strange reason, there isn't as much chametz around as there usually is. And therefore, on the 14th, if he chops some of your chametz, well, then he might not eat all of it. He might save some for later because he doesn't know when his next meal is coming. And then you might find some chametz on Pesach, and therefore you have to do another bedika. Amarava v'chichud neviyahi tiyadu da'idna arbeisar v'lo'afiyad l'urtu m'shayir mitamra. Let's read that again. Says Rava, v'chichud neviyahi, is a weasel a prophet? The yada that it knows that idna arbeisar, that today is the 14th v'lo'afiyad l'urta, nobody's going to be baking today until the night, u'mashayir mitamra, and it's going to say, wow, I should really make rations for myself, because when I don't know when I'm going to have any more food. No, weasels are not that attentive. They don't know that like Pesach is coming and people did bedika and there's not going to be bread around. So from that respect, there's no difference between the 13th and the 14th. So Ela Amar Rava Mashem Shari Anchenu B'tzina. Rather, says Rava, the reason why the Mishnah on Yud Amud Beis says that whatever chametz you leave over after the bedika, you should put away and not leave out, is Shematito Chulda B'faneinu. It's because we're concerned that maybe we'll see the weasel take some of the bread in front of us. V'yetzarech bedika acharev, and you're going to have to do another bedika, as we said at the very beginning of, that was the very first thing that the Gemara said, right? That when do you not have to check out of concern that a weasel took chametz? That's only if you didn't see a weasel take chametz. But if you saw a weasel take chametz to a place, well, then you would have to check it again. So therefore, Rav is saying that make sure to put away whatever chametz you're leaving over after the bedika for you to eat. Make sure you put it away, because if you leave it out and you see a weasel take it somewhere, you're going to have to do another bedika over there, because maybe it's going to leave some of the bread over. Tanya Kavase de Rav, we have a brisa supporting Rav, that if somebody wants to eat chametz after bedikas chametz, Kate said, Yaisa, what does he do? Masha Mashari Anuchenu Betzina, that which he leaves over, he should put it away. Shelo tavu chulda, lest a weasel come v'tito b'faneinu and take the chametz in front of us. V'yetzarech bedika acharev, and you would have to do another bedika. Okay, Rav Mari Omar, says the Holy Rav Mari, gezer shem yaniach eser v'yimtzosh teisha. Okay, says Rav Mari that the concern is that, well, actually maybe you'll leave specifically out 10 pieces of bread, and you'll come back tomorrow and you'll find 9 pieces of bread, and what happened to that 10th one? And then it'll be clear that a weasel took it, and then you'll have to do another bedika. Okay. Says the Gemara, Teshat Tziburin Shal Matzah Ve'echot Shal Chometz. What happens if you have 9 piles of matzah and 1 pile of chometz? Ve'asa Achbar V'shokol, And then a mouse came and took. So if you have 9 piles of matzah, 1 pile of chametz, a mouse comes and takes 1 piece of something. We don't know what it is. Now, there's a 90% chance that it took matzah, but let's see. Hainu tesha chanuyos. So this is the exact case of tesha chanuyos. Peresh ve'asa achbar v'shakal hainu seifa. And if a piece, if something separated from the 9 piles on its own, and then the mouse came and took that and brought it somewhere, well, then that's the seifa of that brisa. What the heck are we talking about? What is tesha chanuyos? Let's find out right now. The Tanya is, we learn in the brisa, tesha chanuyos. If you have 9 stores in a town, tesha kulan mochen basar shchuta, and all of them sell slaughtered meat, i.e. kosher meat. The achas mocheres basar b'sar nevela. And then you have, I assume it means a 10th one, right? Then, you know, you have one that sells non-kosher meat. Okay? So basically there's a 90% chance that whatever meat you're getting is going to be kosher meat. But v'lokach me'achas me'en, a person, you know, blindfolded himself and went into one store and he doesn't know which one he went into, or whatever it was. He was completely spaced out and he went into one of the stores, cannot for the life of him remember which one it was, and he bought some meat, and he doesn't know which one he bought it from. Sveiko usher, that's a problem. The reason is because we have a principle. That principle is called kol kavua kemechza amechza dami. That anything that we know what it is, it's like 50-50. Meaning, we know that there are 9 stores that are kosher and 1 store that is non-kosher. So because we know exactly what it is, it's not like, you know, there's a whole bunch of stores and we don't know how many there are. You know, no, we know it's 9, it's a ratio of 9 to 1. Well, then we actually treat it kemechza amechza, as if it's 50-50. And therefore, when he's saying, look, I know that I went into one of these stores and bought meat, well then, we'll say kol kavua kemechza amechza dami, that it's not a 90% chance that it's kosher, it's rather a 50-50% chance, and therefore it's aser. Uvenimtza halecha charov. But interestingly, what if this fellow didn't actually walk into one of the stores and purchase meat? Rather, he's walking down the street and he finds a piece of meat. And now we don't know, wait, here's a piece of meat. Can I assume it's kosher or not? So in that case, yes, you can assume it's kosher because there's a 90% chance that it's kosher. Because over there we'll say called the parish meruba parish. Anything that's separated from the rov. And the rov here is kosher meat, therefore you can assume it's kosher meat. So if you do something, if you go into the store and buy it yourself, well then we'll say kol kavua kemechza amechza dami, and it's 50-50 and it's aser. But if you find it, well then we'll say anything that's separated from the majority, and we'll say that it is kosher. Now, back to our case. You have 9 piles of matzah and 1 pile of chametz, so it's the same thing. If we see the mouse that went and took from a pile, we don't know which pile it was, we'll say, kol kavua kemechza amechza dami, that there's a 50-50 chance that it's chametz or matzah, and therefore it's aser. However, if we just see a piece of something lying there, and we don't know where it came from, and then a mouse came and chopped it somewhere, and brought it somewhere, well then we'll say, kol de parish meruba parish, that anything that's separated from the majority, and we'll say that it is matzah, since 9 out of 10 were matzah. Shnei tziburin, echad shel matzah ve'echad shel chametz. What if you have 2 piles? One of them is matzah, one of them is chametz. V'lefneim shnei batim, and in front of these 2 piles are 2 houses. Echad baduk ve'echad sheinu baduk. One of the houses, they already did bedikas chametz. One of the houses, they did not yet do bedikas chametz. So the neat way to divide this up would be to say that, you know, to associate the chametz pile with the house that did not yet do the bedika, and the matzah pile with the one that did do the bedika, in which case the house that didn't yet do bedika is still going to have to do bedika anyways. The house that already did bedika doesn't have to do a bedika, right? Because we'll say that the chametz went to the non-bedika, the matzah went to the bedika. Basu shnei achbarim, came our 2 mouse friends. Echad shakol matzah ve'echad shakol chametz. One of them took from the matzah pile. One of them took from the chametz pile. V'le'adinon hai lahai ayil ve'hei lahai ayil. We don't know which mouse went into which house. So hainu shtei kupis. Well, this is the 2 boxes. D'tanya, we learn in the Braisa, shtei kupis. Achas shel chulin v'achas shel truma. If you have 2 boxes, one of them contains chulin. One of them contains truma. V'lifneim shnei so'in. And in front of them are two containers. Achas shel chulin v'achas shel truma. One of them is chulin and one of them is truma. V'naflu elu l'soch elu. And then these containers fell into the larger containers. Mutarin, it's no problem. She'ani omer, because I'll say chulin l'soch chulin naflu v'truma l'soch truma nafla. I'll say that the chulin fell into the chulin and the truma fell into the truma. And therefore I'll say the same thing over here, that the pile of chametz went into the non-bedika house and the pile of matzah went into the bedika house, nice and neat. But the Gemara says, wait a second, Amor, the Amrinan She'ani Omer, Bitruma, Dirabanan, B'chametz Doraisa Mi'amrinan. I'll say this thing that, Truma went into the Truma and the Meiser went, and the Chulin went into the Chumer. Whoa, what's Chumer? I don't know. And the chulin went into the chulin. We'll say that by truma, which is derabanan. Super interesting. Rashi says the truma derabanan bizman hazeh. Wow. Rashi says that truma bizman hazeh is only derabanan. Very interesting. So therefore, since truma is derabanan, so therefore we have the sort of space to be able to say that the truma went into the truma and the chulin went into chulin. We're not concerned that maybe the truma went into the chulin. But by chametz, which is d'oraisa, would we say the same thing, that the matzah went into the matzah house, into the checked house, and the chametz went into the non-checked house? So the Gemara says, wait a second, atu b'dikas chametz d'oraisa? Is b'dikas chametz mi d'oraisa? No, it's not. D'rabanani. Di mi d'oraisa, v'vitol pa'amas ha'agile. Mi d'oraisa, as we said the other day, on, when did we say this? Who could tell me? Tell me before I find it. Tell me before I find it. I beat you to it. Taftalat on the base. That mida oraisa, all you have to do is a bittul, right? All you have to do is mivatul chametz. You don't have to do bidikas chametz bichlal. And that's a din derabanan. So therefore, we can say that the chametz went into the non-checked house and the matzah went into the checked house. Chevre, that was daf tes of Masechta Pesachim, another great daf. Let us review what we've learned. So at the beginning, there was machlokes between Reb Zeir and Rava about can you count on a weasel to eat things. Reb Zeir says it depends what the things are. If it's meat, yes, you can count on the weasel to eat it. If it's bread, no, you cannot. Rava says that no, you cannot assume that the weasel ate everything, but it just depends the context. If it's a case of suffix, so maybe the weasel ate everything, maybe the weasel didn't, well then you can say that you can rely on the weasel because it's a suffix and a suffix. But if it's a vadai situation, such as our case, that if we saw a weasel schlep some chametz into a corner, then you cannot assume that it ate it because ain't suffix motzi midei vadai. We then brought a whole bunch of cases to try to prove that maybe we don't say ain't suffix motzi midei vadai, but we were able to those weren't good proofs. So we're stuck with this principle of ein safek motzi midei vadai. Then being concerned that a weasel will schlep some bread, right? You have to be concerned that a weasel is going to hop some bread and bring it into the place that you already checked. Abai says, well, it depends. If it's the 13th day of Nisan, when there's still plenty of bread around, you don't have to be concerned that the weasel is going to take some bread and leave it over, because the weasel, as far as it's concerned, still has plenty of bread to go around. But comes the 14th, the weasel starts to notice that there's less and less bread around, so maybe he might save some rations for later, and at that point we have to be concerned that maybe the weasel is going to make a mess. Rava says that no, we're giving too much credit to the weasel, he's not that smart. Rather, says Rava, it depends. If we mamash see the weasel take things and bring it to a corner, well then you have to be concerned about him leaving it over. But if we don't see it, then we don't have to assume that that there was a weasel that's going behind our backs and sneaking some chametz in where we already cleaned. Rav Mari says that, well, actually, interestingly, you don't want to leave out chametz that is like a specific number. Like if you have 10 pieces of chametz, well, then maybe you'll find that there's only 9 left, and then, you know, what's the problem? So, you know, like what happened? Maybe a weasel came and it'll create a mess. So therefore we say don't leave out any chametz. But if, you know, if you don't see the weasel take it, I don't think you have to be concerned that he did. And then we got into these interesting situations about the Teisha Chanuyos, right? We said if you have 9 piles of matzah and one pile of chametz. So it depends. If the mouse comes and takes some stuff, and we don't know if it's chametz or matzah, so we have to say kol kavua kemechza amechza dami. There's a 50-50 chance, and therefore it is going to be you have to be concerned that maybe the mouse took some chametz. But if there was just some substance next to these piles, and we don't know if this thing came from the matzah or the chametz, well, we would say, look, it's a 90% chance it came from the matzah, right? Called the parish meruba parish, and that would be acceptable, even if the mouse now schlepped some away with him. You can assume that it was matzah. If there was a pile of chametz and a pile of matzah in front of houses, one of them did bedika and one of them did not, you can assume that the chametz went, the pile of chametz, and then the mouse takes some stuff from each of the piles. So you can assume that the chametz ended up in the house that did not yet do bedika, and the matzah ended up in the house that did do bedika. However, I hope that you enjoyed the test of Masechta Pesachim. I'll see you later. Peace out.